Well, Tim, you've sent us some video that we posted on the coasttocoastam.com website that you have on your website as well. And I've got to tell you, I spent half a day looking at some of these devices floating around. And honestly, Tim, I've got to tell you, I was looking to see if I could find any strings attached to those things, and I could not. So you have to tell me a little bit about those pictures in the video that you sent us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I should preface it by saying they do have strings. The strings actually hold them down, not up.
They're on the bottom.
I was looking for it on the top.
Yeah. No, the lifter is, in a way, I guess, kind of like the paper airplane for the anti-gravity world. You know, it's the basis that other things are modeled after. But it also shows that these effects are real and demonstrable. You know, one of the problems for years has been people come forward and say, you know, I was doing experiments on X, Y, or Z, and I saw something really weird happen, and it lifted off the table, and since I don't know how I did it, I don't know how to replicate it. And the lifter is very easy to replicate. They cost about $3 to build each, you know, if that. It's just aluminum foil, balsa wood, and wire. And yet they lift off, and they fly with no moving parts. They only require high voltage. In the old days, we were actually using computer picture tubes, you know, computer monitors. They have a high voltage tap that you can get current from and run into the lifter, and they will take off and fly. And that became the basis of, you know, more than a belief, but a conviction that anti-gravity is real. It's not, you know, it's wrapped up in the mythology that goes back to the last several decades in the U.S., but it's a real, tangible thing.
It sounds like the electricity or the electrical bolt has a lot to do with its properties then. Is that true?
To some degree, yeah. It sets up, it sets up a corona between a wire over the top of the lifter, and that's unfortunately not visible on camera, and then the foil, which is actually the part that you can see. And there's a field effect that's generated, and it's kind of a bimodal effect. There's some ion wind, and the ion wind is actually an aerodynamic effect, which just creates a positive thrust straight up. And then there's also the Biefield-Brown effect. And that's considerably more complex, and it's one of those things that's been the subject of debate for, you know, decades at this point.
And we're going to get into this too, Richard, because it could have something to do with what our good old friend Edward Leedskalton did down at Coral Castle in Florida.
You know, I can't help shake the feeling that there is somehow a deep fundamental connection, and I've been looking for ways to try to measure it, and our Accutron experiments at Coral Castle definitely showed that things are not as the mainstream physicists keep telling us. But the next step will be to take those instruments and to try to measure in the vicinity of one of these lifters whether there are any anomalous inertial or gravitational properties. And the problem is that you're in the vicinity of a very massive coronal discharge, and that has the problem of masking with radio frequency noise the signal you're trying to detect, which is not electrical. It is inertial or gravitational. So there's some engineering and technology to be done by the hands-on guys. But ultimately, I would say within, you know, 6 months or so, we should have some answers. One of the important things to know is that the lifters you saw, which are these, you know, light balsa wood devices that, mm-hmm. as Tim says, can be built for a few bucks, when you plug them into a high-voltage source, they do take off. The big question is this simply an aerodynamic property of a very highly accelerated ion wind, which is rushing from the top wire down, and because of Newton's third law, action and reaction, pushing or pulling, in this case, the thruster up? Or is there an inertial, some kind of anomalous anti-gravity effect going on? And my good friend Gene Maloff, who, as you know, was killed earlier this year, ran an issue of Infinite Energy Magazine, where he had some very competent physicists do some very sophisticated experiments. I think, Tim, you were part of their kind of kitchen cabinet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they did calculations and measurements of this ion wind, and they reported in Gene's magazine, which is available as a back issue, that the ion wind is insufficient to lift the lifter off a table, let alone do the things you saw do in video, by three orders of magnitude. Now, for the non-scientists in the audience, that means it fails by a factor of 1,000. The thrust is too weak by 1,000 times to do what you saw going on in those videos.
So can we safely rule that out in this case?
Well, you need more sophisticated experiments, but we certainly can say that it's looking a lot more interesting than just ion wind, and that's the heart of the controversy, because the folks that hope that we'll never get off this planet, that we'll never figure out an alternative to rockets, they are praying nightly that it's something trivial like ion wind, and of course, we now know because of these measurements and calculations, it is most likely not.
Tim, I know back in school, I was always taught that gravity is what held us to the planet. How can something that has this kind of energy and force to it by pull, how can that be created in an anti-gravity area? How can you do that?
Well, George, I don't mean to sound evasive, but I should kind of state out there that the lifter, again, is really the basis for just, you know, innumerable number of experiments that have been conducted. And so, you know, it's very valuable for outlining that these things exist.
And it's the training wheels, George.
Yeah, but the strange thing has been, you know, after my initial success with the lifters in 2002, which was based on work by Jean-Louis Naudin and Transdimensional Technologies, which is actually out in Huntsville, you know, I started doing research and reporting. I tried to be, you know, kind of an investigative reporter for this work as well. And it's the 2 years since the lifters started working have been just as amazing as that first moment that it took off, because what we're finding is, you know, physicists and engineers and people from major aerospace companies, people, you know, who remain nameless within NASA, with an interest in these things, and they're writing papers about it, and they're doing experiments, and many of them are getting results. And this year has been an incredible year for those results.
Okay, but what is it doing to gravity to allow it to literally become anti-gravity?
Well, at the very least, it's affecting inertia. That's the very least case. And it was something that, you know, unfortunately, various labs have tested lifters, and what they tend to do is build it, stick it on a high-voltage supply, pump out the air to a complete vacuum, and then they come forward and most of them say, well, it didn't do anything. Although, you know, a few, like the Purdue University study said, well, it actually works in a vacuum, just not as well. So that's part of it, you know, is they do this cursory attempt and say, well, here are our results. And one of the things that I noticed, I've built and flown about 200 of these things at this point. I mean, I just kept building them and changing them and seeing how I could modify them. I started to realize after about 3 months working with them on a day-to-day basis that there were some really weird anomalies that I couldn't explain. It was stuff that Bfield Brown really didn't cover and stuff that Ion Wind just completely didn't explain.